This is Keep It Juicy, episode 25. Hello and welcome to Keep It Juicy, a weekly podcast that features experts on living a juicy life. What's a juicy life? It's a lifestyle for those who have put in a few miles and are ready to turn off-road, who are still learning and excited, who are fearless, or who are scared but dare anyway. Juicies are grown-ups, so some of our language may not be appropriate for children. Juicies are bold, passionate, and ready to squeeze every drop of juice out of life. I'm your host, Helen Mitternight. Are you ready? Let's keep it juicy. I'm your host, Helen Mitternight. More and more over 50s are starting a business late in life. Maybe you had a hobby while you were busy with your career and now you want to do that for a living. But do you have what it takes to be an entrepreneur? Today's guest, Anita Leffel, taught entrepreneurship at Texas A&M, and she's now a CEO of Silver Founder Academy, an organization whose mission is to help people 50 and older become business owners. Entrepreneurship. Today on Keep It Juicy. Anita, hi, thank you, and welcome to Keep It Juicy.
Well, Helen, thank you so much. This is just a pleasure to be able to speak with you this morning.
Well, so let me start. I know you've got all kinds of expertise, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about you. How did you get interested in entrepreneurship?
It's so funny because I have a very successful son, and people will say to me, well, I guess that he took after you. And I said, oh, God, no. I've learned from him from the age that when he was 7 years old and making money. So it's just that I was in middle management for most of my beginning career when I had a young family. And as my children got older, I decided I wanted to get more education and went back and got a second degree. And as they got even a little older, I wanted to go into business. But I still had children, and it was a little bit difficult for me to start studying business, and I studied education, and which is really a real love of mine, is to teach. And so I got my PhD at Texas A&M. And the first job right out of the chute from having my PhD, and of course I knew that I wanted to be at the university, but I didn't know it was going to come quite so quickly, was at the University of Texas in San Antonio, where I was approached to say, since you have management experience, would you teach an entrepreneurship class? And I thought, oh, wow, this is really great. This is exactly what I wanted. Now, I only had 2 weeks to prepare because apparently someone they had lined up didn't work out. But what's funny about that is that's probably the best thing that I only had 2 weeks, because, and I'll explain that in a second. And so I thought, okay, I bought this textbook. We're going to go through case studies. They'll do a couple of writing samples. We'll do a few speakers, and there you go. That's, you know, that's the class. Now, there was no real entrepreneurship program at the university at the time. And so I thought, no one actually to even call and ask, well, what are you doing? So that's what I had started. And about 4 weeks into the class, I was so bored that I knew that if I was bored, you know they were bored. And this was a class of about 21 students. So I walked in, and here I have this $120 textbook, and I come into the classroom and I kind of toss it on the table there in front of me. And I said, I don't know about you guys, but I'm about as bored as can be. And, you know, you hear this snickering and everything, but of course, obviously I could tell. I said, you know what? We're in entrepreneurship. Let's start a business. And they're all, you know, looking around. As it turns out, I did start a business. We did start a business in the classroom. I got called to the carpet for making money in a classroom. So not allowed, but that's okay, because I realized a real entrepreneurial way of approaching life. And I really do believe that all of us have this entrepreneurial thinking if we just utilize it. But anyway, I approached this by
Wait, stop 1 second. I just want to go back and ask a quick question. So you went and got your PhD. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you got your PhD? Because I think that's a really valuable thing to find out.
Well,
for my
it
listeners.
Is because of who I am now and what I'm doing. But absolutely, I was over 50 when I got my PhD. And so
wow. See, people, it can be done.
It can be done. It absolutely can be done. And so what I have found, though, is that the older I got, the smarter I got. And I do realize, I do believe more than anything else, that we think that we're certain who we are and what we're good at a certain age. And we tend to get this fixed mindset that, okay, well, I'm not good at math and I'm not going to do this and I can't do that. And here I am, I got a PhD and I'm starting to teach entrepreneurship. And I'm saying, yes, that's who I really am. And so I took off. So let me finish the story because it really is kind of funny and it does lead to exactly who I really am and how I feel about entrepreneurship and you know, life in general. And that is that in the classroom, we started a publishing company. And we published a magazine for the university. And so I get called into the vice president of student affairs. And of course, my chair of the department went with me. And she said, I'm sorry, but you are not allowed to make money in the classroom. And I said, well, I see these groups of students all over making all kinds of money. What's going on? And they said, well, she said, well, you know, they have student organizations, student groups. And so I said, okay, well, then how do you do a student group? And, you know, I looked it up and I found out and I said, okay, well, thank you. And I left. And I told my chair as we're walking back to our offices that I'm going to start a student group and that's how I'm going to do it. And so he was behind me, thought this is great. He'd never met an entrepreneurial thinking person in the Department of Management. But anyway, at that time, anyway. So, I started an organization called Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization. I joined them, opened up a club on campus, walked into the classroom and said, welcome to entrepreneurship. And you are now all members of the Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization. Who would like to be president and who would like to be vice president? We got a group together. I mean, from the class, they all signed a paper saying, okay, this is who we are. And I turned it in, and then we started making money again. So it really worked out so well to experience entrepreneurship that as I did more research, I realized that that's what Stanford is doing. That's what Berkeley is doing. These are what the schools were teaching at the time. Now, this was still 15 years ago, okay? But they were already telling you, you don't talk about entrepreneurship, you do entrepreneurship. You practice. And that's what we did.
So now you practice. You've coached nonprofits and for-profits and government entities. Do you see any difference in your coaching? Do you see any difference among those different entities?
Yes. And I have to say that I see a difference based on age. And just like I said to you earlier that when I turned 50 and I started teaching, and I got my PhD and I started teaching entrepreneurship. And that's when I realized, you know, this is who I am. And 50 years into my life, I realized, well, you know, this is really what I really, 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 really love to do. And so I believe that the younger generation that I have taught, they'll come into an entrepreneurship class or even a workshop and they'll say, I want to be an entrepreneur. And they don't really realize what that means. They, you know, it's just this fancy name and they're not serious. And, you know, it's like, then when I do see that there's some spark there, they'll say, okay, what do I do next? The older generation is quite different. They're a lot more mature about life and their approach and their thinking. And so, in nonprofits, oh my goodness, that's been a struggle until most recently. Because nonprofits say, well, we're nonprofit. Hello, profit? You don't make a profit. Well, they didn't understand. And I think that was common across, you know, everywhere that nonprofits thought, okay, listen, I can't make money. We're not going to make money off of someone else's problems. And that's not the way it is. And that's how I teach it, you know, to this day. Don't start anything until you can take care of yourself and your family first. So if that means...
So are you saying that you see a bigger difference, though, among by age rather than by sector?
Now, let's talk about that a second, just that when you say sector, only those who are interested in the idea of business and concept of entrepreneurship, okay, the sector, nonprofit sector, who's not interested, quote unquote, in entrepreneurship will still have this thinking of, I don't want to run a business. What is business? This is not a business. This is nonprofit. And so my best students in my career have been those who found that they really need this knowledge and this experience to be able to implement in their own lives.
You talk about the skills that they need, whether they're entrepreneurs or not. And I know that you have run marathons. What kind of skills have you learned from that? And how does that apply to being an entrepreneur?
Isn't that funny how life just sort of, it's all tangled together and it's also a puzzle. And as you start piecing the puzzles together, it really starts building a very clear path. And yes, let me back up by saying I've run 9 marathons. And it's one of those things, again, where I said I started running some, I just got bored with life and said, okay, I'm going to start running a little bit. I'm going to run 3 miles, right? And then it got to 6 miles, and then it got to 10 miles. And before you know it, I ran a marathon. I loved it and ran more. But what I found about it was I had to be so focused and driven, and not obsessive driven, but driven to how I ate, how I slept, how I planned my day so that I could practice running, so I could do my exercise in preparation for, because a marathon is something that you have to prepare for. Well, think about it. In everything that we do, we really do need to feel and be prepared. And so that kind of staying focused and having a goal, but not making it once the goal is it, that's it, I've accomplished it and the party's over kind of goal, but more like it is a journey, and yet there are these little goals along the way that make your journey quite interesting. And in my case, the only reason I stopped running was because my joints were yelling, "Stop this now, because you're killing me." So I did have to stop.
I'm reading a book right now called Endure. It is a business book, and the author is a runner. And draws a lot of lessons from his running and the endurance that he has to have, and what skills you need to excel from running. So I will also put that link up there along with the link to your site, because I think it's an interesting comparison. But my listeners are over 50s, and I know that you teach entrepreneurship for all ages. So let me move from your college students for a minute and tell me what you've learned about over 50s in entrepreneurship.
It's exciting because I'm over 50 and I'm over 60. And I believe that, first of all, I don't even know the word retirement. I don't even say it. It's not part of my vocabulary. It's just called encore. It's called recreate. It's called there are just so many things that I want to do. Well, I find this to be the case with so many individuals that I have met, and so many fascinating, interesting individuals that are excited that what I'm doing because they want to be part of it. And then they make suggestions on people that I can meet with, and referrals and so forth. And so the people that I've been working with are the ones who truly say, I want to recreate myself. And I know this is something that I've wanted to do, is start a business. Now, there's a number of ways of starting, a number of kinds of businesses. There's the lifestyle business, which is someone who makes furniture or knits, creates, handicraft types of things, and says, I'd like to sell this. Well, they want to start a little business and sell these things. And maybe that's part of just making some extra income.
And then there are those who truly have some skill that they'd like to share and develop a business around. And so I'm working with both of them, and I'm finding that that it starts the same way. What is it that you can do and solving someone else's problems? Now, just because you and I will go out and buy a basket of flowers, and we didn't have a problem, but we did want some really nice flowers. And so I point this out to individuals that by saying, you're still looking for someone who has this problem. And the problem in this case might be someone who wants the best of a product. Or it might be something more serious, as we know, and there's so many wicked problems in the world that you could address through entrepreneurship, through solving the problem.
So you're really turning it around and making it business, a business plan. Because a lot of people, I bet, have a passion. Maybe they didn't do it in their career and they just want to do something that exercises that passion in their, as you call it, their encore. But that doesn't mean it's a viable business, right? If it's not solving a problem
exactly.
or meeting a need.
Exactly. And I've met many people who have Afghans stuffed in every corner of their house because they've not really thought through who would want these. If they want these, who are they willing to pay the amount of money that it is worth because they've put in their own time and material in developing these? And so you don't sell it for something cheap. These Afghans that are handmade could be quite expensive. But again, we're doing, and think about it. I love to do a lot of handicraft. I love floweries and plants and gardening and stuff. If I wanted to turn it into a business, I'd still have to say to myself, okay, so who am I going to sell this to? Where do I find these people? And how much will I charge? And are they willing to pay what I would need to charge in order for me to, and yes, I will say the word, to make a profit. You have to make a profit to be able to continue doing even just making small items. But to run a full business, of course, it's the same concept. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Whose problem am I solving? And where can I find these people? And will they pay me for this service or product?
What other kinds of tips can you offer people who are looking to get into their own business?
Well, I start teaching the very, very, very first day whether it's a workshop, whether it's just a short course, or whether it's a full semester course. I start by saying, who are you? I start with the entrepreneur within you. So there are people, even in my generation, my age, who will say, I want to be an entrepreneur, but they don't truly understand themselves enough to know if that's really who they are. And who they want to be. Maybe they are good at coaching and advising, and they need someone else who might run the business per se. But we start with ourselves. And so there are assessments and things online and books and all kinds of resources for you to truly understand who you are. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? So that you know that you should find someone who will complement your skill set and make up for where you feel that you're lacking. And so definitely we start with ourselves. We just have to understand what it takes to be an entrepreneur. Who are we? I'll give you a good example. I'm not good at turning around and saying to somebody, you owe me $10. Hello. I'm not good at that. And so, but if I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to make any money, and I'm certainly not going to get ahead in life. I was coaching someone last week who's been doing some marvelous things. I said, okay, bottom line, have you monetized this? Well, no, not really. And I said, why? And he said, because I don't know how. And it's really a how. It's really turns around to say, okay, I will do this that you're asking me to do, but I need to charge for it. I'll give you all kinds of advice. I need to, you know, my time is, I need to charge for my time. So it's just a matter of sometimes a matter of that, just, you know, this basic, how much is my time worth? And then feeling that very confidently, this is what my time is worth. And so this is what I need to charge for my time. And, but it's a mindset. Think about it. It is a mindset to be able to be able to say to someone, I'm worth $100 an hour. And so that's what my, my fee is. And to feel comfortable. If they say no, okay, it's all right. But there will be someone else who will.
Is there somebody that you would say, don't start a business? I mean, you know, we're talking about what you need to have to a successful business. At what point do you tell someone it's a nice hobby, go make it a hobby, but
well,
don't make it a business?
I would never say that unless I really could see that the person is not serious. They're just not serious. They, like you said, they, it's a hobby, and they say, well, can I turn this into business? And I'm saying, well, can you turn this into a business? That's the key. Can you turn this into a business? But I will say that if you're not making money, it is a hobby. And if you're, even if you're making a small amount of money, just enough to buy the materials to do the next one, we still call that a hobby. So I think it becomes just an education process, understanding business and understanding customer and customer a product or service, and does it fit together, and can I make a profit? What's my business model? I think I believe very strongly and have always asked my children from a very young age, I've said, you know, think your education is the most important thing right now between your family and your education. That's all I want you to think about. So I've always said that. Well, I still feel the same way, particularly about starting something like a business where when we say business, it means I'm going to make money. So the business model tells you how much money you can make and who your customer is and whether or not that there's going to be exchange long enough, sustainable enough to keep you in this quote unquote business as opposed to a hobby. So,
are some people just naturally entrepreneurial?
Good,
do you think?
Question, because I've even asked, I have an answer, but let me say what I have learned. And that is that everyone is, if you're a human being and you want to survive in the world, you're entrepreneurial. You're looking for a way of survival. Okay, turn that into a business and you say, okay, I'm looking for a way my business can survive. But there are personalities and characteristics that tend to make someone more entrepreneurial than others. And so I do believe that you can make someone into a really great entrepreneur. Think about, and Steve Jobs is the best example because he was adopted and he grew up in this small little town, Iowa somewhere, where there wasn't an exposure to businesses. And yet he became this great entrepreneur. And a lot of it has to do with the connections that you have and the people that you meet and who you're hanging around with. But there still is sometimes a personality trait that a really successful entrepreneur has. And that is, like we mentioned a little while ago about the jogging, endurance. There's a desire for endurance. There is a focus on just staying focused and on what it is that they want to do and how they're going to do it and, you know, this kind of thing. So basically, yes, you can become an entrepreneur, but can you actually become passionate, learn to be passionate? I don't know. I have always told my students, you know, I don't see many of you being very passionate, but at the end of this course, watch me and learn what that means to be passionate. I mean, I was always so passionate about how I would teach. I'd bring in my excitement. I'd bring in passion for teaching and passion for wanting them to learn. And I would say, you may not have that passion, but you can learn to develop that in such a way that it would be to your benefit and to learn this to become a really good entrepreneur.
And I think we're going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. Anita, thank you so very much.
Well, you know, I could go on and on. So I'm glad that you stopped me because I would not, I just could go on and on about entrepreneurship. So thank you so much for having me.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really nice talking with you.
If you want to check out Anita's website or see where you can buy that endurance book I mentioned, check out the general resources page on our website, keepitjuicy.com. You can keep up with us on Facebook or Twitter at keepitjuicy.com, or go to my website and sign up for the newsletter. And as always, it really helps if you go onto iTunes and leave a review. Meanwhile, go out there and keep it juicy.